I'd like to reconvene the February 2010 meeting of the Marine Resources Commission. Next item on the agenda is public comments. This is an opportunity for those in the public who wish to speak on matters not on the agenda. Mr. Gaines. Good afternoon now, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bowman.
Good to have you here, sir.
Thank you. Commissioner Bowman, members of the commission, you will recall that I called something to your attention about the Surrey coal plant. For those of you who might have been busy and missed it, I hope that you will check the Daily Press of February the 17th. There is a very important article which lists the toxic threats and the dangers to our waters and our rivers and our streams. And, of course, I know that that is something that you're quite concerned about. I'm connecting the dots again. We have suddenly been hit with the probability of a big push for offshore drilling. Now, I understand clearly that that is not in terms of oil rigs and platforms in your purview. However, offshore drilling, in the opinion of many people who know what they're talking about, represents a major threat to our Virginia fisheries and to the way of life and the livelihood of our watermen. This is not an issue that should be taken lightly, especially since we're in the throes and the midst of what you reacted to in the morning session, Mr. Bowman, at the mention of budget cuts and the budget situation. The whole question of monitoring scientifically is being impacted by budget cuts, in my opinion. And I'll let VIMS and others speak for themselves. They know what they're doing. I have confidence in them. But we are in a situation where we're speeding down this highway towards a giant washout or mountain slide, and it could create some real problems. And I would respectfully urge you to pay close attention to what this represents in terms of a major threat in the minds of many to our fisheries and to our watermen. And just so you will know that I'm not some lunatic from the fringe, my wife and I have spent several vacation periods in Alaska. And we made a point of going to see not only climate change, but we also wanted to talk to people and the watermen and the people who own those boats that go out and bring us those wonderful catches and to see what their situation is. Even today, years after the Exxon Valdez oil spill, the environment is still damaged, but more importantly, our watermen up there have not gotten the first dime for their losses and for their inability to conduct their businesses and to do their fishing. The major oil company, which we all know the name of, has steadfastly attempted to block any recovery of those losses for the watermen. I consider that to be a very significant warning. I'll finish with this, Mr. Bowman. You know, I'm always carrying around my little data. I have 8 pages here of factory generating plant pipeline explosions and fires. It is a stunning array of accidents that have occurred and the subsequent devastation that has followed. You may be aware of the fact that one oil line leak is taking place currently off of Australia. And they have had a time I don't fault the industry for not trying to plug the leak and make the efforts to turn the situation around, but it's just another example of why we don't need, in a little sliver, about three-quarters of a year's supply of oil for this country, considering our daily usage. We don't need it off Virginia's coast, but we especially need to pay close attention to what the impacts are going to be. Thank you, Mr. Bowman.
Thank you for your comments, sir. Anyone else wish to speak? Yes, sir. Mr. Jenkins? Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Mr. Bowman, members of the board. Doug Jenkins, Twin River Watermen Association. I wanted to address the replenishing program for 2010. But if you're going to have that, I see down at 19, you have a request for approval. So I just have some comments. Could I make those now?
You can make them now, yes, sir.
You with them later?
Yes, sir. That'd be fine.
And maybe I could go back there and have some of your leftover London broil, because since I didn't get my lunch. But anyway.
Who gave up that secret?
We can't tell tails and nails. Well, the replenishing program, they don't have anything here for the tributaries of the Potomac. I don't know if y'all have gone over that or not. The harvest in Nominee this year was excellent. That's all I'm going to say about that, but there was a lot of other issues there that we need to address before that area is open again, and we'll do that later. But I know the state got very much replenishment money back for the marketable harvest that harvest. And since there's no general funds, there should be some funds around somewhere. And my suggestion is this. Some of you know, ones that don't, I'm going to inform you that the Great Wicomico has got about 80 acres of public ground with seed arches on it. I looked at some, Ron, looked at some slides, and, you know, they're just sitting there. And I asked Jack about them about a year or so ago, what they were going to do with them, and Jack told me what was told to him, they were going to watch them and see what happened to them. Well, tell you what happened to them, half of them died. I'd like to see some of this money go to designate some watermen, go with them dredges, and say for a 10-acre area of it, take them up and move them up some of the tributaries in Potomac, like Nominee, Yocomica, Cone, and instead of letting them die, they may die again this summer. 10 acres ought not hurt that project if they got 80 acres right there of what the engineers and Ron Lester's got studying. The watermen could catch those oysters for probably $3 a bushel or less. Wouldn't have to buy them from some private individuals that has a lot of seed and pays $12 for them. That would give those watermen jobs to work. Plus, it would be those seed oysters would be put in an area that is not going to have a strike anyhow. And they would grow it in a year's time and would be beneficial to the packers and the archmen in that area where they've been depleted. And everything I see on here is the York River, Pianke Tank, Little Creek, Rappahannock, and the Eastern Shore. It, you know, it might not make sense to y'all, but it makes sense to me. Mr. Chicks, I would tell you that horses up our way, they don't strike like they do in the Rappahannock and the James and the York and all. We have to depend on seed. and we want seed at a reasonable cost. And the warden can catch those seed, and the seed belongs to the state. The governor wants people to go to work. It's a way to put them to work and ready to have money back in the economy. I don't see anything wrong with that, and I hope y'all don't. If you can mend this thing that Dr. Weston is going to present to you today, but to take some of those funds from the replenishment program, instead of putting buying shells and throwing them over down there so they're going to strike and move those shells in the Rappahannock or somewhere, no, we need what we've got already to go in that area up there. Now, I'm requesting you to do that. Ask him to, and I beg you, I'll get down on the floor. I'll roll over. Do anything you want. Please do it. Listen to me one time, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jenkins. Anyone else?